2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 8:30.
It's 29 degrees.
Weather's really messing up traffic in the south end of Weber County, north end of Davis County. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Eye on the Hill 2021, special coverage on Utah's morning news.
Utah lawmakers say the legislature should have final say on all gun laws in the state, over local leaders, and even some federal rules.
KSL News Radio's Mary Richards begins our team coverage, Eye on the Hill 2021.
The bill says the state legislature can override local gun laws from cities or counties and be able to disregard some federal regulations in the state boundaries. Salt Lake County Mayor Jenny Wilson spoke against it. She had an order last year to require background checks for private firearm sales at gun shows in county-owned centers. Others say taking on the feds is not a good idea for the possible legal repercussions, but supporters say this bill supports states' rights. The House passed it. It goes to the Senate. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
A bill designed to give Utah police officers more de-escalation training passed two big hurdles in the legislature. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly continues our team coverage, Eye on the Hill 2021.
The full House and a Senate committee voted unanimously to approve HB 162. If passed, it will add more hours of de-escalation training each officer receives. Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown says de-escalation is already included in the annual training officers must complete, but says the changes in the bill are invaluable and will create new, broader, and deeper curriculums across the state. The training will include calmly speaking to people in mental distress and creating space in dangerous situations. The bill now goes to the full Senate for discussion. Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
A resolution before the Utah legislature would designate August 31st as International Overdose Awareness Day. Lisa Thompson lost her son to an opioid overdose and testified before lawmakers in favor of the bill.
In his early 20s, he had two back-to-back shoulder surgeries and became addicted to prescription pills, which we had no idea.
Thompson says her son overdosed while on a business trip. She wants the state to adopt the Awareness Day to try and keep other parents from experiencing that loss.
KSL's top national stories this hour. COVID-19 vaccine makers tell Congress to expect a big jump in the delivery of doses over the coming month. The companies say they will be able to provide enough vaccine for most Americans by summer. By the end of March, Pfizer and Moderna expect to have provided the U.S. government with a total of 220 million vaccine doses. That's up from roughly the 75 million shipped so far. That's not counting, by the way, the third vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, which could get emergency approval by Friday. The FDA just released data on that vaccine this morning ahead of an official review that will happen on Friday.
A Texas woman is suing her power company over last week's winter storm blackout. In the $1 billion class action suit, former customer-turned-lead plaintiff Lisa Khoury accuses Houston-based Gritty Energy of price gouging during the surge in demand for electricity. She says her bill shot up to $9,000 during the crisis.
The short periods of time when I had power, I was too afraid to turn my heat on because, you know, I saw my light bill jumping.
Several board members of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas resigned amid a separate class action suit.
A vigil was held last night in Georgia to remember Ahmaud Arbery, the 25-year-old black man shot and killed 1 year ago while jogging. Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, is claiming a police cover-up, and her attorney, Lee Merritt, says she's suing for $1 million.
That lawsuit is alleging Fourth Amendment violations, violations of the due process, violations of the Constitution of the United States.
Three white men involved with shooting Arbery are facing charges.
Navy SEALs and CEOs have something in common. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson reports military leaders are calling on business ethics professors at BYU to give special forces units a new kind of ethics training.
The world of business might not seem as dangerous as the world of warfare, but BYU professor of ethics Brad Agle says you may be surprised how similar the ethical dilemmas actually are between the two. Agle researched business ethics dilemmas, and he found the vast majority of them fall into one of 13 different categories. The Special Operations Command asked Agle to turn his book into a field guide for Special Forces units.
Professors say soldiers are confronted with ethical dilemmas every day, and they didn't have a guide that could help them before.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.